I'm Allison Kaskowski, otherwise known as the Allison K. I'm a fitness innovator and entrepreneur turned business mentor and retreat master. A client experience is more than just making the sale or the transaction. A client experience is about how it's put together so that clients can receive amazing real transformation. Here you'll hear all about how the industry leaders are creating amazing experiences. I'm always going to give it to you straight because I know your time is valuable. Are you ready? Let's get into the show.
Hey, everybody, it's Allison Kaskowski. Thanks for joining me again today for another edition of Creating the World's Best Client Experiences. This is the business edition of our very successful Tuesday podcast, The Ultimate Journey of Self-Care. And the reason why I like to frame this about business is not just about to talk to you about how to create an offer or how to make more money in your business. I know if you're a business owner and you're listening, that's probably really important to you. But as you know, we like to approach the client experience from two angles on this show. One is we always want to be massively enhancing customer value. That's always number one. And number two, we always want to be highlighting the actual transformation that our guests are able to get for their clients. So today I'm talking to my friend, Billy Hofacker. I met him incidentally, at a live event earlier this year. We met at Raise the Bar, and Billy has been in the fitness industry about as long as I have, which is a very long time. And he's been a gym owner. He's had his hands involved in a lot of different aspects of the business. But what he's doing now is he's actually helping business owners in the health, fitness, and wellness space like get more control over their finances. So what we're going to be talking about today is not just that, but we're going to be talking a little bit about everybody's favorite subject, which is money. Thanks for joining.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so excited to be here. I couldn't sleep last night because we're going to be talking about some important topics that I truly believe are life-changing for people.
Totally. So, but before we get to that, I know your story. I mean, I just know when you and I met in Dallas and we were talking a little bit about your background and everything. And I know that this has been a very big year for you in a lot of ways.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Maybe the biggest. My life has been a little weird that way where I don't know if anybody can relate to this, but it seems like we have some like pretty like steady, like not too much going on. And then all of a sudden there's like when it rains, it pours and lots of changes going on. So I would say I've experienced more change. This year is up there. I mean, 3 years ago, we made a huge change. I don't know if we want to talk about that with a relocation, but this year, yeah, there's been some really big changes for me.
Yeah. So you actually have owned gyms in the past. Like really, that got your start in the industry a lot like I did as a trainer, an instructor, and a coach. And then you became a gym owner a lot of the same path that I took up until seven years.
Yeah, I kind of joke around that I've never had a quote unquote real job. I was originally going to become a physical therapist. I wasn't a really strong student in high school. I went to a community college right after high school. I was young for my grade. I graduated and started college at age 17. And I kind of had a wake-up call. I was kind of thinking like, if I stay on this path of just kind of goofing off, so to speak, I'm probably not going to get very far. So I had that wake-up call. I got really serious with my studies because I knew I wanted to do something in the science field. Even though I didn't do great in high school, I did have an aptitude for science and math, and I did like it. I just didn't realize it, and I wasn't in the right environment. That was a huge turning point for me. I got surrounded by people that were doing a little bit more with their life. I was going hard at this in this quest to become a physical therapist, and along the way, a buddy of mine in college started doing this thing called a personal training. And I'm like, man, that sounds really interesting. What is that? And
yeah,
he's telling
me
that he's helping people get in shape and lose weight. And you're getting paid for that? And he was actually getting paid really well. This was my buddy, Justin, who I met in college. He kind of introduced me to the whole thing. I didn't even know much about it.
Yeah.
And that was a segue for me. I got certified. I was 18. I think it was the day I was able to get certified. I did it. And I've been in the fitness industry ever since. I haven't looked back. I've never had that real job. I actually ended up taking a break from college. I went back later. But that's when I started my personal training career as an independent contractor in a local gym. Was involved in lots of different settings. And then fast forward, and we could talk about anything in between if we need to. But Fast forward to, well, 2001, I started my first LLC because I wanted to have my own business. But then fast forward to 2010 is when I actually became a brick and mortar facility owner. I started off as a sublease, ended up getting my own space a year later. So that would have been 2011. And I ended up with multiple locations on Long Island, New York. We had a really successful operation there. And just about 2 weeks ago, well, now it's been like 3 weeks or so. I sold the business and now I am full-time in what I do now, which is called profit coaching, which is helping fitness professionals, gym owners, really anybody. I actually have a couple of new clients that aren't in the fitness industry and I help them raise their personal income, grow their business profitably, and reduce stress around money. And I know there's a lot behind that and we'll talk about that.
Totally. So I love that because you and I have been on such similar paths. I don't know if I ever actually told you this, but PT was actually my first career choice too.
Wow.
And I even got so far as applying and was waitlisted and kind of went through the whole process before I realized the universe was trying to hit me on the head and tell me, you know, you need to be in fitness because this is where people need you. And I grew up a competitive athlete. So it was no like hit out of left field for me. It was always something that I loved. I had just never really thought about making it a career until then.
Yeah, it was very similar.
When I did, my life changed. And it's hard for me to imagine doing anything else. So I totally am seeing myself in a lot of your story. So
very similar.
So let's just start then with, obviously, and a lot of people listening to this are fitness professionals, but a lot of people are not. They're just coaches. Mm-hmm. They're maybe in the health, fitness, wellness, service-based sector of some way. And let's just be honest. I feel like there's a lot of belief and a lot of thought around people who are in our industry just killing themselves, trading the dollars for hours. Like, what is your perspective and experience with that?
As far as do I see that happening? Do I see people killing themselves, trading dollars for hours? Yes, I think there's only so much that we could sustain. I do think, because a lot of people, I'm in this finance world and there's always these topics of, you know, what does it take to become financially independent or to become wealthy? And, you know, the different things get thrown around like hard work. And yeah, that's really important. So I think we'd be foolish or we'd be lying to say that there doesn't take some hard work to become quote unquote successful. With that said, if you're only relying on hard work, let's say you're starting your day at 4 a.m., you're getting to the gym early, you're doing your shift, and then maybe get a chance for a little half butt workout. Maybe you take a nap, then you go back and you work with clients until late in the evening, rinse and repeat. Maybe there's like a half a day Saturday, and then Sunday you're writing programs. And that just sounds like so unpleasant when you've, and not to sound like I have it all together, but when you've gone through my experience of getting way past that, that kind of sounds frightening to go back to that. And I think a couple things. Number one, I don't think that's sustainable for anybody because, yes, we all have limited amounts of energy and we all have different seasons of life. So you're listening, you might be in your 20s, 30s, 40s, or beyond. And you're gonna have different priorities and different things that you need to do. And you know, we're about to have our fifth child. So the thought of me training clients 10 hours a day is just impossible. Like, there's no way I could do that. I would not be able to hold my family together. I think we need to think about those things. And a lot of times, I don't know the age of your audience or the demographic, but I think if you're in that younger or newer period, I think there's a lot of value in looking up from where you are and thinking about where am I going to be in the next 5 years, the next 10 years, because, and I didn't mean to jump in with all this crazy motivation, but I will say, if you can't see a better path, that's a wake-up call, like just like I had, and we didn't talk about my wake-up call, which I would love to share it.
Totally.
What you're doing today is going to create your life in the future. And if it's not, if you're not headed to creating any like type of financial freedom, it's not just going to happen. And I'm not saying you need to hire me or anything like that, but you need
Glad you mentioned that, because for me, I can distinctly remember, and it really wasn't too long ago, probably, you know, maybe right around, I don't know, 10, 11 years ago, I had that wake up call where I was like, is this what I really want to be doing. And look, it wasn't that I didn't love my clients. I have great clients. I still have some of my fitness clients from years ago because it just works with us. But it just, the lifestyle and the schedule just was not working for me, because you're exactly right. I'm so glad you said this, where what you're creating and believing now is what's setting the stage for your future. And if you're trading the dollars for hours, you might be thinking, I'll get to it later, I'll get to it next year or whatever.
Good.
But you're really not. You're really just kicking the can down the road.
Oh, man, that's so good. I think that's such a dangerous phrase. I'll get to it later. And we all see all these cliches and Facebook memes and all this stuff of, you know, take action now. And I think when it, I mean, there's lots of important areas of life, but there's not a lot that are going to affect everything else like money is. And I think for that reason, I just really encourage you to take this. But even if you're doing well, like you might say, oh, this is not for me because I have a retirement plan and I'm doing this and I'm doing that. But you could always improve, all of us, myself included. We can all do things to create a better future for ourselves. So I just love that message that you just shared.
Yeah. So real quick before we move on, what was your wake-up call?
Yeah. So this was quite a while ago now. So 2010. So that's about 15 years ago. And I was getting ready for work. It was a crazy time. Remember, I just said earlier, like during the intro, that my life has been such that when it rains, it pours. So this was a pouring season. I was newly married. We were about to start our family. I left this part out, but I was also working as a professional martial artist. That's a whole nother story. Probably not time for it today, but I was doing that. I was training my clients at the gym. I'm getting ready for work one day, and there's a knock on the door. Really shocked, because it's early in the morning, you know, the early morning shift. And I go and open the door, and there's this jacked, bald dude standing on my stoop. I look past him, and I see my brand new white Honda Accord hooked up to his tow truck.
No way.
Our car was being repossessed. And he looks at me with a thick Long Island accent. And he says, I'm here to repossess your car for delinquent payments. And when I share this story in talks, I try to jazz it up a little bit and make him really scary. But the truth is, he was actually a really caring, considerate guy. He was really good for the job. He looked the part. But when we started talking, he said, yeah, I feel really bad for you. In fact, I wish I could help you out here, but I can't. I literally have to take your car right now. There's no like working a deal out with you or anything like that. So he takes the car. As I see him drive away with my car attached to his, like I felt this little string get pulled. Like my life was beginning to unravel. And people ask me, and you might be curious, or if you're listening, you might be curious, like, how did that happen? If you haven't experienced something like that. And for me, it was the first time. I hadn't ever heard of it happening. I hadn't talked to anybody who it happened to. I was just so shocked. I was confused. I was frustrated. I was angry. Like, how could I let this happen? I was
mad at myself.
Yeah,
and you were probably like, if really being honest, you were probably like feeling a lot of shame too.
100%.
We've all made decisions where we're like, what was I thinking? You know?
Yeah. I was like, what if my neighbors see? Like, what am I going to tell my wife? Like, it's not what she signed up for. That was a difficult time for us. We were not doing great in our marriage. We weren't, again, I could make the story sound better and say we were like on the brink of divorce. I wouldn't go that far. But we weren't able to talk about money without arguing, I'll tell you that much. And it was really stressful. We didn't know what to do. We found out we had $130,000. And I say found out, and I mean that. Like, I literally didn't know how much debt I had. I had, because I just ignored it. I stuffed it under the rug, just like people do, just like your clients might do with their health. Like, how'd you get to be 50 pounds overweight or 100 pounds overweight? Like, didn't you see the writing on the wall? I mean, there's a lot of other pieces to that emotionally, and just things that we're just not addressing. And that was the case for us. $130,000 non-mortgage debt. That was the big wake-up call. We started doing things very differently. I mean, I could say it was like a switch, kind of was. I mean, there was probably a little bit of a gradual element to it, but for the most part, we started doing things differently right away. We had no choice. Fast forward 5 years, we cleared the $130,000. 95% of that was from my gym business that I was starting right around that time. So when I said it rained, it poured, I got the car repossessed. We were having a kid. I was starting my brick and mortar business really slowly, like with a sublease, like I mentioned. Yeah. My wife was leaving her full-time job because we needed somebody to be with our baby. So it was a crazy time for us. It's one of those things where looking back, I wish I could have just really embrace it even more, because although it was crazy and stressful, it was like really exciting because we were on this mission together and we're doing all this work. And that I never in a million years would have known at the time, but that was, to use your phrase, that was setting the stage for their future. So 5 years, we cleared the debt. 7 years later, we became completely debt-free, paying off almost $500,000. Fast forward to 2023, we moved from where my locations were in on Long Island, New York, to Middle Tennessee, which is where we are now for the last 2 years. During that whole time, I developed this Fit Profit Solutions business, which helps fit pros and gym owners to do the things I talked about with their finances, become more successful. And that's where I am now. I wish it never happened in some ways, but in other ways.
Oh, I hear you. Like, yeah. Sometimes we have to have those things happen to really get our attention, to really say, you know what? We need to just step off the cliff and just, you know, it's everything's going to leap and the net will appear, right?
Yes. We need to wake up. And if you're listening to this, you probably are not quite in the position I was in, and that's a good thing. But you still need to wake up and have that moment where you say, yeah, like I know this stuff in my head, but I need to connect it inside and really start making those changes.
Yeah, love that. Love that. So like I told you before we got on, before we hit record today, I've had a lot of people on my shows and we've talked about the subject of money because it's complicated for people. And at the end of the day, money's really very unemotional. Finances are very unemotional, right? But what makes it such a heavy, heady subject for people are the thoughts and the beliefs that we attach to it, right? Mm-hmm. So with that in mind, tell me how the way that you do things with your clients, what makes that different from, say, working with a financial advisor, you know, or, you know, anyone else who can just sit down and help you lay out a budget?
Yeah, well, I think one of the things, it's kind of related to everything we're saying, and I think about this even like in my own marketing, and there's now, I'm not saying it's because of me. I do have the highest rated podcast that I was happy to have Allison Kay on, and it's a top rated podcast, and we talk about money and business and fitness business, and but there are a lot of people now coming out of the woodwork, and I see it everywhere. This person's a financial expert for Fit Pros, and that person, and when I look in a little deeper, most of them have this sort of like formal background. There's somebody who is maybe a CPA or something, and that's great. And we need those for sure. I think where it's different with me is that I like in my bones, like this is what I was meant to do. It's not like I'm just doing this because it's a good idea, because I'm an accountant. It's like, I have lived this life. I've been a gym owner with multiple locations for 15 years. So I know the business. I don't know everything, but I know it a lot. Like, I know types of challenges that people deal with. I understand the highs and the lows, the emotional perspectives. And while I'm not a therapist, I mean, I do have that background that I can really relate to people. I can make people feel safe. Oftentimes, money can be scary to talk about. I can't tell you how many fitness professionals, they don't even want to look at their P&L. They don't even want to look at their bank accounts. And like, how do you coach somebody that's not willing or that's really fearful in that? And a lot of that is making them feel safe, making them know it's okay. In fact, I've been there. I understand what it's like. And we can take those small steps that lead to big results. At some point, yes, you do have to dive in and do the numbers. But
at the end of the day, it's information. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, it's information. And all it tells us is where we are right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And with that being said, and I know I'm making it sound like very general when I say that. And I know everyone's got a money story to some degree. But I also know that because it's information, that really the key is what do you decide to do with that information? You know, it can really like change with a simple decision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. I mean, I'm living proof of that. I'm literally have no advantages. In fact, I have had a lot of disadvantages if we really wanted to get into my life story. And I was able to make some of these changes. And they're not. What's the phrase? Like it's simple, but it's not easy. It's like a lot of things. Like it's really something people ask me, like, what are some big misconceptions? And that's one of them, is that it has to be complicated. I need to understand all these complicated formulas. No, not really. If you read a book like The Millionaire Mind by Thomas Stanley, which I would recommend everybody read.
Yeah, read it. It's a good book.
Yeah. I mean, he talks about it's just discipline. It's just spending less than you make and making the rest of it work for you. It's really not rocket science. I think there are people that would like you to think that, probably similar in the fitness industry, right? There's these coaches that make people think that because they have all this specialized knowledge that nobody else has, that they can really help people. It's like, no, not really. You just have to use some basic principles and be consistent. And that's the same thing with money.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting that you're talking about the journey that you've been on and why that makes you like good at what you do, because mm-hmm. you've lived it. So you not only mm-hmm. understand it from a subject matter perspective, because let's be honest, in the coaching world today, I think trust is at an all-time low, because there's just a lot of people out there that are proclaiming that they can do things that they're not really qualified to do. They maybe have had success one time and now they're an expert. But that's really not what you're saying. What you're saying is, you know what? I've had my nose to the grindstone. There have been months when there wasn't any money there. And more importantly, you understand that because you were a business owner, because you walked in people's shoes, and that's really what makes you good at what you do.
Yeah, I think it's similar, I'm assuming, for people listening, like what makes you a good coach? And part of it would hopefully you would say, because I truly care about that person that's in front of me. I really want to help them. I will connect with them. I'm not going to make them feel like it's just another transaction. I'm going to make them feel like another human being that's seen, that needs support like we all do. And it's amazing what that'll do for a business.
Yeah. So before we get into your program and talk a little bit about how you help clients get results, I'd love to know your perspective on this. Like, what are the biggest problems that you see in your business with fitness and health and wellness business owners and their money? Like, what are some, there's some recurring themes that you see consistently.
Yeah.
What are those?
Yeah. One thing that comes to mind is that, like, that I don't know if it's a cheesy answer, but I'm going to say it anyway, because I really do think it is the biggest problem, arguably. And it comes down to, you can call it mindset, belief, identity around money. I think a lot of people aren't where they are or where they like to be just because they're not deciding to be. A lot of it is just that. Like I decided that I was going to get something different. And I think at some level that has to happen. You could learn every single technique, but until you work on it's a little bit of hard work, developing your mindset, you're not going to get there. So I think that's probably the biggest mistake, is they're not treating their career or their business like they need to. Here's a powerful question. So this is your homework assignment from me. Don't do it right now, because if you do it right now, you are going to miss the rest of this valuable show. So you can put it on pause, or you can do this later. But here's what you can do. Take out a beautiful journal that you're excited to open up, and a beautiful pen, not like this cheap one that I'm holding. Nice pen, sit there with some quiet time. You can put a candle on if you want, and really explore some of these things. I mean, there's a lot you can do there, but I'll just give you something basic.
Yeah.
And that would be things like asking yourself, did I earn the money today? Like, did I do what I need to do to earn the money or earn the profit, or however you want to word that? And then you could follow that with, did I give my very best effort? So if we're talking about, you said what you were an athlete. So what sport was that?
I was a swimmer.
Okay, so you were a swimmer. This is a perfect example, because I'm not a swimmer, but I know swimming is a really good example. So you were a swimmer at a really high level, and this wasn't planned, right? So I want you to be honest with me, but I'm 100% assuming that you went out in that water and you did it all the time, every day, whatever it is, you had your competitions. But I'm assuming not every practice or every competition was your very best.
Absolutely. There were plenty that weren't.
Yeah, I'm assuming most weren't. In fact, some of them were, and all that stuff. Same thing with this, right? So you're going to, in your journal, where did you rate in terms of your very best? And then you're going to come up with a number. If you're using a number scale, you might say, yeah, how did I rate today in my very best effort in becoming financially independent, or whatever, fill in the blank, right? Okay, I rate myself as a 6. Okay, that's a pretty big gap. And now it's a great opportunity for you to coach yourself. You could say things like, if I did an effort level of 10, what would that have looked like? What would I have done more of? What would I have done less with? A lot of times it comes down to how we're spending our time and the systems that we're putting into place and things like that. But that's a simple task that anybody can do. It takes about 10 minutes. And is that one thing going to completely change your life? Not necessarily, but what it can be is a little domino that gets you thinking this way. And what happens if you ask yourself that question every single night? And then you added to that, what can I do tomorrow to bring this closer to my very best effort? I mean, doing that alone, I think would probably get you a lot further than not doing that, right? And it's pretty simple. Takes just 10 minutes. But you asked about the mistakes. Another huge one, they're similar in the sense of, because it's like starts with the mindset. It's like, why do we do the things that we do or don't do? Like, why, if you're somebody who's fit, which you probably are, if you're listening here, like, why I worked out today, right? Yeah. So raise your hand. Obviously, we can't see you, but raise your hand if you worked out today. Okay, everybody's raising their hand. Why did you work out today? It's probably because of some kind of internal mindset or belief that you have. I'm somebody who works out. Like, it's Monday. Like, that's why, right? I did that today. And you can see some of the marks on me from my workout, right? It's a whole nother story. But it's the same thing when it comes down to some of these quote unquote mistakes. Mm-hmm. So answer this question. All right. So did this, we're recording this April 21st. Who knows when it comes out? Maybe it's May. It doesn't matter. Maybe you're listening to this a year from now, you could ask yourself, have I done a profit and loss statement for the future? All right. That's known as a budget. What I mean by that is, have I on paper, I'm not talking about, because this is, I can get fired up here, so forgive me, but it's like nonsense. It's garbage. If you tell me, oh, I know what I spend, I know what I make. That's like your client saying to you, like, I can't lose weight. What should I do? And you're like, okay, well, let's make a plan for your nutrition. And they're like, and you've had this before. No, I don't need to. I know every day I have a sandwich for lunch and I have this and that. No, you don't. Because I have a degree in nutrition, and I remember the well-known study in the nutrition world, when you ask people it's called a dietary recall, for those that don't know, right? What did you eat yesterday, right? They compare that to what they actually ate. Now, how do they know what they actually ate? I don't know. It's science. Like, they have a way to track everything. And they find that people are so far off, it's ridiculous. Like, up to 60% off in the amount of calories they think they ate. And I'm guilty of that too. Like, the last couple of days, I'm grabbing stuff left and right. Like, that all matters, right? Same thing with your business. The same thing with your finances. Like, you think you're making this, but all these things add up. You think you're spending this, but this Amazon purchase here, this subscription there, this employee here, all of it adds up. So you need, if you want to be successful, you must plan it out on paper. I don't mean it has to be physical paper, although it can be. It could be a spreadsheet. It could be whatever. Right. But that's another big mistake. Almost nobody does that. Not even just in the fitness business, but even in all businesses. I just wrote a blog, if anybody wants to check it out. And I have the actual numbers in there that I looked up, but I believe it's 50% of businesses don't do a budget. And even out of the ones that do, a high percentage of them don't actually follow it. So just by doing that simple thing, and you're listening to this and you're saying, I'm going to read your mind right now. You're saying, that won't work for me because I'm not making enough money. That is backwards. And it's the same thing as your client telling you that I'm not going to work out because I'm not in shape. The workout is what gets you in shape. And
yes, I love
treating
that.
Your finances like a business is what gets you to the point of being profitable. You don't become profitable and then start doing these things. So if you're doing that, stop it. This is your wake-up call. I know it's hard. I know you don't want to look and see that you're spending more than you're making. But it's the same thing as our client that says, I don't want to know my blood pressure. I don't want to take my scale weight. I don't want to know my BMI. Because I don't want to look at it. It's like, okay, great.
Because when you look at it, that's when you figure out that you got to do something about it.
100%.
And it's human nature to avoid it because it's unpleasant, right?
Yeah. So I'll just kind of give the final one here that I'm thinking of. These are just kind of random.
This is great. Go ahead.
Yeah, but there's a lot of them. So I'll share one or two more. Another one.
So I'm thrilled to announce that I'm partnering with a brand new product, and it's called Cellevate. This is an amazing, tasty, gummy supplement, and it comes in two varieties. One designed to help you with inflammation and recovery, perfect for after a workout,
or if you've had like several days in a row where you've really pushed it and you're really starting to feel it in your body, this is the perfect addition to a regular routine. The other formula helps address focus and memory, which, let's be honest, I think we can all use a little help there, right? What's different about Celevate is that not only does it taste great, but it has amazing antioxidant power. So many vitamins and supplements on the market today, you either have to take several in a single day to even see any kind of tangible result, or most of the time, a lot of them don't even give you the result that they promise. And Celevate checks both boxes. I take one of each formula every day, and what's more is that they pack and travel really well. So you can take some and put them in a Ziploc bag and throw it in your bag when you're going out of town, and they won't melt. And it just is the perfect addition to whatever it is that you're doing every day in the way of vitamins and supplements and whatever else works for you. So I knew that I had to get in here and at least tell you about it. I would love it if you would head over to their site and give it a try. I'm actually going to offer you a really special deal. You can find this amazing product at their website, and that's spelled Celevate.com, which is CELLEV8.com. And use my special promo code, the AllisonK2024, and you can save 15% off. I would love to know what you think once you have a chance to try this.
So I talked about that they're not planning properly, but the other thing they're not doing is they're not reviewing properly. It's kind of like the opposite problem, yeah. Right? So that would be like the equivalent of the client not looking back at their nutrition. And why should they do that? It's because it's a learning opportunity. Yeah, you look for habits, yeah. You get information. You they're similar reasons, but in different ways, and they're both important. You can't do one and not the other, so don't make that mistake either. And there's lots of them. I mean, some of them are they're not even separating, and no shame here, but they're not separating their business and their personal finances. So much more common than you would think. And that is a recipe for disaster, because there's no way to understand what's going on when you're commingling your finances. So people think they're not doing that, but a lot of times they tell me they're not. And then when we look, they are. Like I have clients, some of them, if I'm honest, they've been working with me for a while, so they should definitely know better. And now we're going through their P&L and I'm like, what's this? Like, oh yeah, that was like my personal groceries. And what's this? Oh, that was like for this like personal trip that I did. And it's all intermingled, really difficult to get ahead that way. And here's one thing I like to say. If you want to, I will just use a swimming analogy again. Like I went through a little spurt where I thought I wanted to become a better swimmer. So I started taking some lessons and I started practicing and all that stuff. So that's what you do, right? You kind of learn like, okay, what do successful people do? Like, how do they do the stroke and how do they time it? How do they do their breathing and all this stuff? Like find out somebody who's doing it well. We could do the same thing with business. If you want to become successful in your finances and your business, you would have to find people that know what they're doing well, and then you find out what they're doing. Is that like 100% like to know that there are some differences you'll have to do and stuff like that, but you're going to get a good idea in terms of what you want to do, right? So make sure that you're A, surrounding yourself by people that know what they're doing, but B, that if you ever read Atomic Habits, it's a great book. Yep. I'm sure you read it.
Yep.
If you're listening to this and you haven't read it, it's a really good book for you, but also like to help you with your clients. He talks about this strategy. I don't know if you remember this part, Allison. It's like a small part of the book, but he talks about one of the strategies to make sure that you do the right thing to get to where you want to get is to think about the opposite. And it's kind of counterintuitive, right? So he says, if you want to have a really nice, long-lasting marriage, take a journal, take a pen, and write down 10 ways that you could destroy your marriage. All right. So number one is I won't even pay attention to my wife. Number two, I'll say mean things. Number three, I will like never keep my word. And you do. And he's like, why do you do that? It doesn't make any sense. And he explains all the psychology, but it's when we become hyper aware of what not to do, because yeah. you're kind of telling yourself, I want to ruin my marriage. Like, this is what I will do. So you do the opposite because you don't wow. want that. You're acknowledging yeah. it. And the same thing with our finances. So if you look at any, like even big business, like think about a big business that you might consider as successful. Like it could be a business you frequent. It could be a huge business on the stock exchange. Imagine them not separating their finances. Imagine like the CEO of a huge corporation, like he's commingling like his kids' hobbies. He's paying for his kids' baseball out of the company budget, right? What else? He's not doing a forecast. He's not doing a budget. He's not reviewing his financials. He's not meeting and planning and making these decisions. Like we would think that's absurd, but we do all of those things.
Yeah. No, I love that because these are all just very real examples. And I think people listening can probably see themselves in at least one of those examples. Right. And sure. I love how you brought that up from Atomic Habits. What you're really saying is we want to become very aware of what we shouldn't be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And instead, we become a lot more aware of what we are doing. Right.
Yeah.
So it's like we start thinking more about like the little things, the little decisions, those small things that we're doing every day.
Yeah, we like think about identity, like you brought up. So my identity is that I'm fit and healthy and energetic. That's a great one. Okay. And this is easy for people, right? Because everybody listening is probably that way or close to that. What would I do if I wanted to be sluggish, very, you know, on all the medications, like super unhealthy? And you would list those things and it would cause you. It doesn't make sense. Like my identity is like, I'm somebody who's fit and healthy. So like, I'm going to run from these things because that's going to bring me exactly to the opposite place that I want to go to. So interesting, right? Like from a psychological standpoint, if you did this financially, unfortunately, if you made a list of how can I completely make sure that I never have financial freedom, that I end up having to work every day of my life, being supported by the government. And like you list those things, unfortunately, a lot of people are doing the very things on those lists. Like one of them would be like, I'm buying things I really can't afford, financing things that are depreciating, and some of the other things I mentioned.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's very interesting because every day, really what we want to be doing is just heightening our awareness around it. And the more that we do that, the easier the change becomes because we're thinking about it more, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. That's intentionality.
Yeah,
that's good.
Okay, so let's talk about how you work with people. So tell us about your program.
Yeah, so I try to keep this simple as possible. So, but there are people that are in different buckets. So I'll share a few of them. And this is all from my experience working with people. It's kind of like what I discovered. It's not rocket science. But there are people who aren't necessarily entrepreneurs. They're contractors or maybe they're employees, whatever it is. They just need help with their personal finances. I coach people like that, but I also have a kind of do it on your own program for people like that. And it goes through all the different steps they need to take, which are also laid out in the book. So it's kind of like people that just want more guidance with some of those things. But I also have some people that want to work with me in that sense. And then I have people that are the entrepreneur. So they are more interested in raising their income from their business, growing healthy and profitably and reducing that stress around money so they can make clearer decisions and make sure they're building the business that is in line with what they actually want. And then you get a celebration there. Yeah. And so those, so I have coaching programs for people like that. I work, I could do one-on-one. Then I also work even, I don't want to say higher level people, but people that are maybe more in that growth scale point. They're usually a little further along in terms of revenue and they really want to understand how things are going to look based on different scenarios. So we do things like cash flow forecasting, budgeting, scenario planning. I want to hire more staff. I want to open up another location or expand this location. So I help them on that side of things. And I've done all of those things in my own career, but also with the people that I work with. So I have clients that I've helped open. I have a couple of people right now that are opening new facilities and kind of walking them through that process. So usually to get an idea of what would work best for people, it's not the most scalable, which I'm fine with, as we learned from some of the talks we saw at the seminar there. So I usually just hop on a call. There's a couple of ways I do it. I don't want to confuse things, but one is just a Q&A call. So I just listen, find out what the person has going on. And then from there, it's a little bit prescriptive. So I might say for you and your scenario, I just think you need a little fine tuning. So maybe we just do, I have like a one-off service, which is, it's called a money map session. So that could be really helpful for people to get a plan for where they want to go. other people, I'll be honest and I'll say, I don't know that this is the right fit for you. You need something else, and hopefully you can try to refer them. Other people, I might say, hey, let's explore some of the coaching options and go from there. But those are generally what I do. We also do bookkeeping. So sometimes people come to me and they don't have clarity because they don't have good bookkeeping, which is something you need. So that was developed by the need I saw. I was constantly talking to people and I saw they didn't have it. So I was just like, hey, we'll do it, right? So we started doing that, and that's done well. And it's great because it gives people the clarity they need. And it's not a be-all, end-all. You can't just have good bookkeeping, but it's part of the puzzle, right? You need all these things, right? You need good bookkeeping. Yep. You need good future planning. You need good marketing. You need good sales. You need good culture. You need all of it, right? So it's hard because there are so many moving parts in a business, and a lot of times the owner is wearing all the hats. So hopefully this is just a way for them to not take their hands off completely, but to have somebody else help them in an area yep. that maybe they're not as strong in.
Yeah, no, and I love that. And what I'm really hearing you say is that you're taking the guesswork out.
Yes.
You're customizing a plan because you meet people where they are. And not everybody to be at that place where they're going to scale or open a second or third location. In fact, a lot of my clients don't even want that. They just want to create a really good income to support the lifestyle that they want.
All right. So let's talk about like that person, because they're probably listening, right? So the way that I could help somebody like that, the cool part is it's so simple. It's not going to be something that's going to, you know, crush them like from an investment standpoint. It's like super, a lot of times it's just super basic. They can get a couple of tweaks on the plan that they're doing. That's the cool thing about finances. As we know, with time, some of those small tweaks can make such a dramatic difference. And I'm comfortable I don't have to be overly salesy, but I'm comfortable saying things like there's no doubt, like this is going to be a 10x return easily, right? Just because it's not a huge investment, especially someone that doesn't have a lot of stuff going on, because we can do that pretty simply.
Yeah, well, that's good to know, because I feel like there are a lot of financial programs out there that maybe just are pretty much set for one kind of client.
Yeah.
I like what you're offering. And I think one of the things that you do really well is not only do you meet people where they are and that you've been there, but that you can direct them, whether they go this way to just have that income to create their lifestyle, or maybe they have other plans for their business.
Yep. Yeah.
It's not a one size fits all is what you're
saying. No. And it's pretty interesting because even within some of those models, like let's say the one-on-one coaching model that I might have, even within that, there is some flexibility just because there are some people that come to me, and not that I'm a therapist or a marriage counselor, but there are some dynamics that need to be worked out with a significant other or a spouse. So that might be part of their program, but other people, that's not a concern. Maybe that's not an issue, or they're just not in that scenario. Other people might have more debt. So we might be hyper-focusing on helping them with a plan to pay down their debt. Other people, maybe that's not as much of a concern. So there's definitely, it's a good balance of structure for you to get the steps that you need, but also for it to be individualized to your needs. And a lot of coaches, like they're coaching me, would say, don't do that, because all you're doing is you're making it more complicated for yourself. You just want to have that cookie-cutter program. They wouldn't use those words. But they would say, you just want this book. It's easier. It's easier to sell, easier to scale. And I talk about this with my wife all the time. Like, you and I know, Allison, we're in this world, and I'm not hating on them. Some of them are great, but like, there are a lot of really quote unquote expensive business coaches and a lot of people who really shouldn't be doing their programs do it because whatever reason. And we've always said like, of course, yes, we want to make money like everybody else, but it's truly not. Yes, I'd be foolish to have a model that's not profitable. With that said, it's genuinely not the top thing, right? It's not like, how can we milk every dollar out of this thing as we can? It's like, no, if we could do good work, help people, it's going to pay off. And it has.
Yeah. And I just think it's really about where your values are lined up, you know, and there are a lot of those people selling those programs out there, I'm sure, are really good people.
Yep.
But I just think that they just have the lens in the wrong direction. I just don't think anytime you work with people, I think you're very close-minded to think that you just have a one-off or one kind of client. I know it works for a lot of people, but I just feel like in today's business world, You have to meet people where they are. You just have to.
And that's an awesome lesson for everybody, right? Because you might be in the same boat. It's all the same, which is so interesting, right? I feel like everything I talk about, it relates to fitness, to finance, to business. And if you're a personal trainer or a fitness business owner, it's the same thing, right? You could sell the cookie cutter Zumba program, which is great, but it's not going to work in the long term because people need more customization. They need more personalization. They need more connection. No offense if anybody's doing Zumba, but you get what I'm saying.
With you. Yeah, totally. Yeah. So as we wrap up, what is your best piece of advice for people listening? I think you've offered a lot of value. You've given people a lot of things to think about. You've made some books suggestions and just some like questions and things that people can work on their own. But I'm thinking of like, what's a little nugget that you can offer that people can walk away with today and get started? Because there's always something I think that
I know. Yeah. Hello? And there are so many things I can say. So let me preface this by saying I can give the answer that is true, but it's probably not that exciting. And that is just ask yourself, because it's like I can just give all the steps and I'll do that. I'll satisfy both. But at the end of the day, if you were to write down this question and answer it and say a couple of things, you could think about your history, like with money, and say when things were. This was actually stolen, by the way, from a book called Switch by the Heath Brothers, another really good book.
Okay.
If you were at a point before where things were better, what was different? Because a lot of times we get away from things that worked. I don't know if you've experienced that, Allison, right?
But totally. Yep.
Especially with marketing, right? It's like, oh, when I was going to these like monthly business, whatever, Chamber of Commerce meetings, I was getting a lot of new clients and but now I'm having trouble getting clients. And well, what are you doing? Are you still doing those meetings? No, I stopped doing them. It's like, they were working, right?
Right.
So think about that for you, like what was working? And then the next question is for me to feel that first sign of success. So if you're listening to this and you're like, I feel out of control with money, ask yourself, what would it feel like to have a glimmer of what you want? Not complete control, right? Because we know it doesn't happen overnight. But what's the first, and I'll just give a fake answer, right? You might say, well, I think I would feel like I knew a little bit more about what was going on. Like right now, I just have no clue what's flying. Like I'm training clients, money's coming in, I'm spending, I don't know where I'm going. I'm not putting my dollars to work. So if I felt like I had a little more understanding of what's going on, a little more control. Okay, so now we get to the actual step. Okay, what would that look like? And I'll give a step for people. I think this would be good for anybody, even if you're somebody who thinks you're good with money and you're doing great. I think this is valuable for anybody. Just take some time. It doesn't have to be a lot of time, an hour, whatever it takes, and look at where things are currently. So take an inventory. And that could mean a couple things. It could mean like from a global perspective, like what are my assets? Those are the things that you own. What are my liabilities? Those are the things you owe. And that would give you like what's called your net worth, which is a component of that. Like, where am I now? Gives you like a good reference point. It's not to judge you or make you feel any shame or anything like that, but it's just to give you a starting point. The other piece for the same action step, you could choose one of these. I'd be happy with either one, is take an inventory of your income, the sales that are coming in. Because a lot of people like to say, like, how much did you make? Unless they have a job, like a lot of times they don't even know. Like, right. I don't know, right. What are you currently making and what are you currently spending? Ideally, the more detail that is, the better. I'm spending $1,000 on marketing. I'm spending $3,000 on my payroll. But get an idea of what you're currently spending. And I can just shut up there because I can give you the next 9 steps too. But I think just doing either of those could be very eye-opening. But I'm also hesitant that it's not a cookie cutter because that might not be the very best thing for everybody to do.
Which is why I asked you, because I figured you would just offer something easy and actionable. And those 3 things that you just offered are easy and actionable. And I think they're simple enough that anyone listening can walk away and get a result with.
Yeah. And we'll give you some extra accountability if that's okay. Yeah. If you're listening to this and you do that, do it. Listen. Nobody's doing it. 99% of the people that are listening to this, unfortunately, they're not going to do it. They're going to say, okay, let me listen to the podcast next week and get the sales tips And that's great. But if you do it, you will change your life. So I encourage you to take the action step and share it with us. Let us know. You could send an email or post on social media, tag us, whatever it takes. And just, you don't have to give all your details. Just say, hey, I did it and it felt really scary. And that's okay, right?
Yeah, I love that. Thanks so much. How can people, first of all, before we sign off, how can people connect with you?
I'll share a few things. Easiest way, if you're just kind of driving or something or jogging or whatever, just find me on social media, Billy Hofacker. You can Instagram or Facebook or LinkedIn. That'd be great. A lot of people kind of reach out that way. But if you're up for it, Allison, I could give you a couple of links to share in the show notes. One would be to schedule that 15-minute Q&A. And the other, if anybody's interested, this is a little bit about me, my experience with money. It's called Fitness Profits. So you can read about it, hopefully get motivated, get some ideas, get the exact steps I took. And then from there, you'll be added to sort of my ecosystem and get my newsletter and all that stuff.
Got it. So can you find the book on Amazon then?
The book is on Amazon, but I also will provide a link if anybody's interested in doing a free download.
Okay. Outstanding. So you can, anyone listening can find those links in the show notes. And the book is called Fitness Profits.
Yep. And Amazon as well. Yep.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. Thanks so much for making time to chat today. It's always good to talk to you.
Thanks, Allison.
Yeah, of course. So anyone listening, there is so much gold in this episode for so many of you that have questions about your finances, about, you know, forecasting for the future. I know you've heard me interview people about money before, but this chat is different because there's just a lot of insights and there's also a lot of thoughts and questions that you can be asking yourself as far as forecasting what you want your future to look like. And that's really what it's all about in business. We put a lot of relevance on where we are today, but it's really about where we're going. And so, and all of that can change, you know, no matter what has brought you to now. So if you know someone in your world who you think needs to hear this episode, please feel free to copy the link and send it to them as a free gift from me. We're on every major podcast platform there is. Or you can reach out to me directly. You can go to my website, www.theallisonk.com, and just hit the connect button. It's in the upper right-hand corner. And just write to me, and we will be happy to take care of it for you. And like I tell you every week, my DMs are always open, so you can always reach out to me on any of my social media accounts, and you can find all of those in the show notes. So thanks for all your support, for always following us, for always being such a huge fan. You guys are the reason why I show up every single week and why we have been so successful on the air. We are very proud that we are ranked in the top 3% globally, and I don't take that lightly because I wouldn't be here without you guys. So just know we're always grateful for all of you. So this is Allison Kaczkowski with Creating the World's Best Client Experiences. That's what I got for you this week, folks. We'll see you next time. Bye.